May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Our readings for this week and next both come from the book of Acts. The book's full title is actually the Acts of the Apostles, and it is Luke's sequel to his gospel. It begins with Jesus' ascension, and then, as the title indicates, Acts narrates the actions of the apostles. It tells us about how the church got off the ground, answering some of the questions we might have about how an event on the other side of the globe 2,000 years ago led to this place where we still gather weekly for worship. It all seems kind of unlikely, doesn't it? Acts begins with Christ's ascension and his instructions. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is the apostles' charge, all because of the Holy Spirit. That's how Acts begins, and it ends with the Apostle Paul proclaiming the good news in Rome, which surely felt like the ends of the earth to ancient peoples. In between, Acts narrates the church's infancy and reveals the values of those who walked most closely with Jesus, folks like Peter, James, John, and Philip. In other words, Acts gives us a vision for the church that may come closest to how Jesus intended the church to be. So this book's a real gift to those of us who continue to try to be church. It provides a kind of blueprint, not institutionally. There are no sample bylaws, committee structures, or worship templates, but a blueprint for the values the Church of Jesus Christ should always uphold. Things like sharing resources, telling the truth, caring for the vulnerable, righting the wrongs of injustice, evangelism, inclusivity, and prioritizing meeting to break bread, worship, and study. Acts also draws to our attention that the God who moves in bold, dramatic ways is the same God who moves more personally amid families and local communities. Now, the bombshell of the book of Acts is the Spirit's revelation that Gentiles are to be included in the kingdom of God. Now, this news should not surprise the reader, as Israel has always meant to be a blessing to the nations. Gentile inclusion was always where God's story was headed. Still, as readers, we join the apostles in our surprise, kind of like the way it surprises a mother when her water breaks. Like, it's not a surprise. She knew where this was headed. But even so, it's startling when the time finally arrives. The news that Gentiles are to be included comes through a couple of dramatic Spirit displays. One of these, the revelation to Peter, we'll look at next week. The other, you're likely already familiar with, the conversion of Paul on the road to Damascus. You'll remember Paul was on his way to persecute the church, but after Jesus appeared to him and struck him blind, he learned that Jesus intended to use him to minister to the Gentiles on behalf of Christ. Headline-making interruptions like Paul on the road or like Peter's vision had grand implications that dramatically impacted the mission and strategies of the early church. For example, when Paul visited a new city as a missionary, he always first brought the gospel message to the local synagogue, wanting to share with them the new thing the God of Israel had done through Jesus Christ. Now, his ministry might have stopped there if not for the revelation that Gentiles were welcome too. So Paul also engaged those outside the Jewish community with the gospel message. Likewise, when some Jewish Christians sought to require Gentiles first be circumcised before joining the church, in other words, trying to make it a two-step process, first become Jewish, then become part of the church, when some pushed for this at the Jerusalem Council, Peter used his privilege to boldly testify about his vision and to argue that Gentiles were to be included as they are. But Acts isn't only concerned with these bombshells, only with these big picture works of the Holy Spirit that shape the entire future of the church. Acts is also concerned with the smaller miracles, those that may not have changed the trajectory of the church, but that made a difference for an individual, or a family, or a community, and brought those who witnessed it to faith. And that's seen in our passage for today. In our reading this morning, it seems Peter is out and about visiting local churches. We might think about how our conference minister visits congregations to check in and see how things are going. Peter travels to Lydda, which is about 25 miles outside of Jerusalem, and there he encounters a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. And I'm wondering if we have any 8-year-olds with us this morning. Any 8-year-olds? Yeah? Could you stand for us, Maggie? Do you mind? We're glad you're here. 8 years old. So for all of Maggie's life, look at her. She's a big girl. For her whole life, thank you, Aeneas was in bed, stuck in bed. That is a long time. But all that changed when Peter came to town. Abruptly, Peter declares, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed, which sounds perfect for Mother's Day, right? And it was so. Aeneas did just that. Now, we'd be forgiven for wondering who exactly healed him. Was it Peter? Was it Jesus? When Jesus was still with them before the ascension, he explained that the Holy Spirit would come to continue the work that he had started on behalf of the Father. And that's what we see here. Peter is a partner and conduit for the way Christ continues to work through the Holy Spirit. Similarly, when I pray over people in the hospital, I ask for wisdom and skill from doctors and nurses, yes, but I try to always note that true healing begins and ends with the one to whom we pray. This truth becomes harder for us to remember as medicine and science advance. But the power of life and death always mysteriously rests in the hands of our God. And it is a gift that humans are able to partner with God in this work. Now, there's a second healing in our story today in neighboring Joppa, where there lived a woman named Tabitha. Now, while there are other female disciples referenced in Scripture, Tabitha is unique in that she is the only woman in the Bible explicitly described as one. Luke writes, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, and she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. But Tabitha grew ill and died. The people of Joppa knew that Peter was just 9 miles away in Lydda, so two men, think how important this woman had to have been in this context, that two men set off to find him and urge him, please come without delay. And Peter goes with them and arrives in the upstairs room where Tabitha's body has already been washed for burial, but notably, not yet prepared with spices and ointments, which was the custom. Hope, however small, still hangs in this room. Grieving widows show off the work Tabitha had done to make life better for women on the margin. Tabitha had made tunics and other garments for them. We don't know if Tabitha herself was a widow or whether the security she had as a married woman gave her space to care for the more vulnerable. But either way, it is clear that she lived in line with the values of the church. Tabitha mattered because she was a child of God. But she also mattered to her community because she understood and embodied what it meant to belong to the church. The community needed her ministry and also her example. Maybe that is why Peter raised her, when certainly there were others grieving other losses in Joppa that day. Peter dismissed everyone from the room, knelt, prayed, and then instructed her to get up, which she did. He presented her alive to those who had grieved her passing, again demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit at work among them. There are headline-making moments in the book of Acts. Paul's conversion, Peter's vision, the watershed moment of Gentile inclusion in the church. And we can appreciate how these events changed the church's whole trajectory. But amid these headlines, there are other more intimate, localized stories, like the healing of Aeneas and the resuscitation of Tabitha. What we need to understand is that both kinds of stories matter to the overall story Luke tells in Acts, because both kinds of stories matter to the Holy Spirit. And both kinds of stories also mirror the ministry of Christ, whose death and resurrection changed the entire world. But he also stopped to heal the leper, to restore sight to the blind man, and to welcome the little children. Both the sweeping, world-changing work and the personal encounters that change just one life or a single community reveal to us the heart of God. This week, cardinals in the Catholic Church elected a new pope, the 266th successor to the Apostle Peter, whom Catholics understand to be the original pope. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as Pope Leo XIV, as he begins this new role. This is a big deal. It will change the trajectory of the church. His leadership will matter. Also this week, 800 people gathered at Bossie High School to demonstrate our support for those who can't afford safe, affordable, reliable housing. It was a big deal. It may not change the trajectory of the church, but it matters. This week, someone made a phone call to check in on someone who is struggling with their health. It may not change the trajectory of the church, but it matters. This week, a Sunday school teacher greeted a child and said, "Welcome. We've missed you. We're so glad you're here." It may not change the trajectory of the church. It will not make headlines, but it matters. The Holy Spirit led the early church in ways grand and localized. The Holy Spirit leads the church in our day in ways grand and localized. Jesus cared for this world in ways grand and localized. And so should we. Lord, give us eyes to see and hearts to celebrate both the earth-shattering ways you move in the world and your smaller, more personal acts of mercy. For we understand that both reveal your heart. Thanks be to God. Amen.